So next up, all the way from Zurich, we have Michael Steib. I probably butchered this as well. It's my day for butchering names.
No worries. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm really fine.
It's a bit strange
doing that from home, but all good.
It's all good. You're going to do great. And now you're going to talk to us. Oh, you're in with the cool kids as well, aren't you? You're talking about building real-time applications with Blazor and GraphQL. Is that right?
Exactly. We are taking Blazor to the next level today.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I'm going to share your screen now, Michael. Let's see how we can do this. So over to you.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Today we are talking about Blazor and GraphQL, and we are going to take Blazor to the next level by using GraphQL and introducing real-time data fetching capabilities to it. So why real-time data fetching capabilities? Because they make your applications really engaging with the user. You don't have to constantly refresh for new bits, you just get them as they come in. A good example for a real-time application is actually Slack. And Slack, on top of that, is really built on GraphQL. So it's a very good example here. In Slack, I can interact with people, I can write messages, and as they respond, I get the messages back. And I thought, that's a good application that we could build in such a session. So we are taking Blazor, and we are building a Slack clone, not fully featured, but some kind of a Slack clone with Blazor to show that off. Okay, so what we are going to build is basically the simple layout that we see here with the left people sidebar where we have all the users I can interact with, and then a content area where I can then chat with one of the people. And at the end, you can help me to debug that by sending me messages right into my debug session. So let's get started. So first, let me pull up my Blazor application. At the moment, this Blazor application really is just an empty shell. Just let me show you that. So we are just compiling it and running it, and then localhost 5000, it's nothing else than a background color at the moment. But we are going to change that. So the first thing that we want to build here is the left-hand sidebar where we have all the users. In order to do that, we need to fetch some data with GraphQL. In GraphQL, the responsibility between fetching data and between the front-end developer and the back-end developer are reversed. So essentially, the front-end developer defines the interface between the server and the front-end by himself, or by him or herself. OK, for that, I switched here over to Banana Cake Pop. It's also built by our open source project. It's a GraphQL IDE based on Monaco. And we are going to define our first GraphQL call. So in GraphQL, queries start with a little keyword. In this instance, we are using query because we want to fetch data. And then we want to fetch the people that I can interact with. So I'm naming this operation here, get people. And essentially, this is my GraphQL operation. And here I can define what data I want from my API. So I'm going to say I need the people field. And from that, I want the nodes, and this is a paging API. So this is the nodes of my current page. We will not bother with paging today, so just bear with me. So the next thing is I'm picking all the data that I need from a person. So for my little sidebar, I need a name, an email, the is online status, so if the user is online or not. I want an image UI, maybe a picture of that user, and last, maybe a timestamp when this user was last online. With that, I actually have everything, but this particular API also lets me sort the set of data, my list here. So I'm sorting that by name, ascending order, and then let me fire that up. By the way, sorting is not built into GraphQL, it depends on your API. So don't compare it to OData or things like that. OK, let me grab this query, because that's exactly what we need. We defined what data we need. We tried it out. We got a very closely aligned result. So let's take that to our Blazor application. So how do I do GraphQL with Blazor? First, we created a GraphQL client that is called Strawberry Shake. And this complements our GraphQL server, which is called Hot Chocolate. So cold drinks for the front end, hot drinks for the back end. OK, in order to get this all initialized, we need to use a global tool, which is called .NET GraphQL init, to just initialize our initial GraphQL client. So we're grabbing the URI here from my GraphQL IDE, and then saying GraphQL init. And we also give it a name. We call it chat. It's our chat client. We start generating it. And what we can see is that something was dragged down from the server. In this instance, we can see there's a chat GraphQL, and it's basically the schema, the representation of all the types that we have in the backend. And we need that to compile our queries against that and generate from that C#. So the next thing is we need a place to put our GraphQL queries. So we create a new file, queries.graphql. You, by the way, can name it anything, foo, ba. It just has to end with GraphQL. And then we grab our query. Let me just put that aside here so we can easier get to the IDE. OK, and then we just paste it in and compile our GraphQL, our Blazor application. OK, and what we can see here is that now we have generated a lot of types. And if I, for instance, look at the iPersonCS, I can see that I generated a person that has exactly the fields I defined in my query. So the front-end developer essentially defines the interface between front-end and back-end. And also, if I look at the chat client, I can see that the operation getPeople translated into a method on my client, getPeopleAsync. OK, so let's head into the components and use that client to build out our left-hand people list. OK, so in the components, I have the main Razor component. In SPA application, we have the concept of smart and dumb components, or stateful and stateless components. Main will be our smart component, or stateful component, that does all the interaction with the backend, holds all the state. And then we have like our stateless components, which are much more reusable, that represent the list. And how that works is that in Blazor, or in SPA application in general, the smart components will push data down its component trees to the stateless components. And the stateless components can then interact through events with the smart component. OK, so what we have here is the people list. That represents really the list of users that we can interact with. And we essentially get some data in here, like an is loading indicator, and also a connection, which is our paging type for the people. So essentially a list of people. And then we have this person item. And you can see the person item gets a user in here. And it's from the type iPerson. And we are essentially binding all our components to parts of our data structure that we generated from the client. So let's put that together. Let's go in our main Razor and add the people list first. Let me just import the namespace here so that everything works. And then I can see the parameters that I used here basically translate to attributes on my Blazor tag, component tag here. And I need to add here some fields so I can bind these data to some fields in my code. So let's do that. So I'm adding here my general initialize function, where I will fetch the data for this component. And I'm adding some fields here where I bind the data to. Next, we have still there an event. If I click on a person, I want to load the messages. So let's put just the empty event methods in here that we will use later. Okay, with it, this everything would compile. Now let's fetch some data with our client. In order to use our client, let's inject this with our dependency injection support in Blazor and say we need a chat client here, which we call chat client. Okay, and then let's fetch the data. So we are using now the get people method on our chat client to fetch some data, ensure that this data has no errors. And then we are just grabbing the people list from that and assigning it here to our field. Last but not least, we are setting our loading indicator to false and signaling that the state has changed and the components are being updated. This should already run, but we still need to put in some dependency injection logic so that our client is injected well. So we're going back to our builder here in Blazor and saying builder.services add chat client. And then essentially everything is set up. All the dependency injection code is actually generated. But we need to something to communicate with the backend. So we need a way to interact with our server. So we are adding the HTTP client factory here and configuring a client that basically has all the details how to communicate with our GraphQL backend. Last but not least, let me put in a token here. And we are ready to go. Let's debug our client so far, .NET run. And that should come up momentarily. Okay, let's refresh that. Awesome. We have our left-hand side bar. We have all the people that we have. Was not so difficult. So let's move on to the next thing. The next thing is when I click on somebody here, I want to have some message bubbles here, be able to write messages to that person and interact with the person. So for that, we essentially go back to our GraphQL IDE because we need to add more to our interface, to our server interface. So we need a method. We need an operation to fetch all the messages. So let's write that query get messages. But before we write that, actually, let me introduce one more concept of GraphQL to you. In GraphQL, we have something called a fragment. And a fragment is our primitive of composition in GraphQL. It lets us create fragment hierarchies as we create component hierarchies in our UI, in our Blazor component. So this closely aligns. And in order to shape our client, really, we are now using fragments. And you will see the benefit of that in a couple of seconds. So we are creating a fragment called person, which actually applies to a person. And then we are just grabbing the fields here, putting them in here, and refer from this query to the person. Let me reformat that. Let's do that in a minute. Okay, the next thing is we want to fetch the messages. And for the message, we actually want to fetch the messages that I have with a specific person. So let's put in an argument here, which is actually called a variable in GraphQL. And then we can pick from our queries. For instance, in this instance, we are getting the person that I want to talk to. So we are loading the person by email. And then we are grabbing from that person the messages that I have with this person. And then again, we are not putting the fields in here. We are creating a new fragment, which we call message. And then we are filling in the fields that we need. We need the ID, we need the sender. We leave that out for a second. We need the recipient. And then we want the direction of the message so we know where to put the message bubble, the text that the user is sending us, and the date when this user sent us this message. Okay, so here we actually need something from person, but we actually just need the top three fields from person. So what we can do here is essentially creating another fragment on person. And in this instance, we are calling it participant. Participant. And then we are getting rid of these guys. And okay, there's no need to keep that around because we just can refer to the participant fragment here. And then down here, we can also reuse the participant fragment. Okay, with this, we finally can put in here our message fragment and are almost done with our get messages operation. So we just again put some order in here. So our messages are ordered by the send date and we're done. The second part we need is a way to send in new messages. And changing the server state in GraphQL is called mutation. So I'm starting here with mutation, and I'm calling my operation send message. And again, we need some arguments to pass in the email to which I want to send a message, and also the text that I want to send. It's again a string that is not nullable. You pass that in, and then I can pick from my mutations on the backend. In this case, send message mutation. And just let me wire that up here, putting the email into the recipient email and the text into the text. Okay. So in GraphQL, only the top field actually is the mutation. There's nothing like a nested mutation. And everything that is down here is actually querying the changed state of the server. So what we can do here is then query for the message that we just produced and reselecting that so that we get the message with the correct timestamp and all. Okay, with this, we are kind of ready. We can just copy and paste that over to our Blazor application, just put it in here. Let's recompile that. And why that takes, oh, there's a bug. Let's see. Oh no, everything's all right. So what we can see here now with all the fragments that I introduced is that I have a person. And this person now has only two properties and implements actually iParticipant. So I can shape with fragments how my data is structured and how it is reusable in my client components. And also I have a message, and the message now exposes a sender, which is a participant. And again, my chat client just has some more methods here to get the messages, send the messages. So it's very easy to use. Okay, so let's get back into our components. The first thing we need to do is uncomment these components that are already prepared here for the message bubble that essentially binds now to our message object here and also use the participant sender of the message. And then I'll also get these other components in the footer, the header, just to make it nice, and an info box for some messages. And last but not least, our message list component that we will put in our main component. Okay, with that, let's put that in, the message list into this. And again, put the using in, so not to forget it. And we can see that this component actually needs more data. It needs a recipient and it needs a list of messages. So we are adding a new field here, recipient, and we're also adding a new field messages here, which is in the beginning empty, and then we need to fill that up. We already have the event methods here on click and on click send. So on click, we want to actually fetch the messages from the person we clicked on. So let's do that. My snippet didn't work. Okay, so what we are doing here is using the chat client to get the messages and then ensure, again, there are no errors, assigning the recipient to our, the person to our recipient field in the top, and also extracting the messages from the GraphQL response and triggering state has changed. So last but not least, we need to have this method where we can send messages in. So we have another interaction with our GraphQL client to send in messages. Essentially, it's the same thing. We take the chat client, send a message in, use the recipient that we already stored up there, and passing on the message that we have here. The interesting bit is then we get this message. We are querying for the changed message of this of the send message method, and are just adding it to our message list. So with this, we can just .NET, run that, and then let's debug it. Okay, it's coming up. Now we should have, yeah, we have our message area now here. I can click, for instance, on Barbats, who has two messages, hello and hello foo. There are other things like, here's Jose, I have some messages with him, so I can see I can write messages here. So hello, Jose, let's send that. And I can see here's my message with Jose. But this is not real time. We need actually to do a little bit more to get real-time data in here. So in order to get real-time data in here, let's get back to our GraphQL ID banana cake pop and put in a real-time event. So how does it work with GraphQL? Actually, it works the same like a mutation or a query. From a user perspective, real-time data fetching is not difficult. It's quite easy. I can just write a query that says it's a subscription and signals that it's real-time, and then the server will provide this data. There's still lots to do to scale out your servers and to make sure your connections are stable and stuff. It's stateful. So there are things to do. But from a consumer perspective, it's simple. So we are saying subscription, on receive messages, and then we can just pick from our events. In this instance, I'm picking from on message received. That is my event on the server. And I can see here that this actually is a message. So again, I can use my message fragment here, and I'm essentially done. Just to make it more nice in my API, I'm going to rename this field to message so that in my client API, this field is called message. And with that, we are done here. We can bring that back into our client, into our Blazor application, recompile that all. Wait for it. Didn't refresh correctly. Let's recompile it again. And then we basically build in the real-time event. So a real-time event or a subscription basically translates to an iasync enumerable in C#. So let me put that in here. And we actually called it onReceiveMessages. And what I get back here from my client, if I call onReceiveMessages, is essentially a iResponse stream. And the response stream is nothing else than an iasync enumerable of message. And what I essentially do here is just for eaching over the message stream and then updating my message list and signaling that there are new messages. So we now just need to run this event, because what it actually does is we are spawning off a task that is running while we are receiving messages and then writing these messages to our list. That's all. But we need to set up some logic to actually fetch the messages. So what we are going to do here is adding something called the WebSocket client. And this API is done by us. It closely resembles the HTTP client factory and takes away the complexity of setting up socket connections. In real-time events in GraphQL can be done with WebSockets. That's what we are using here. You could also use gRPC, or you could also use SignalR. Okay, so we almost are done. Let's get that started, .NET run, and hope it works. And then you can help me debug that application. Just give me a second. We are lowering that down. Here's the URL that you can call to send in messages. It's also a Blazor application that just lets you send in messages. And I'm going to use also this little Blazor application to send in messages. And I know there is a 2-minute delay in this, so I will be the first. And I hope there are others who will follow. And you can see the messages are coming in. And OK, awesome. You can see the audience. There are other people now chiming in to send in data. So where can you get started with Hot Chocolate or Hot Chocolate GraphQL server? It's just go to chilicream.com. We are on GitHub. Everything is open source. And we have a great community that congregates on Slack. So be sure to click on the join Slack link on our GitHub repository once you reach that. And then have some fun with us. With that, Leila, I am done and ready for questions.
I was muted, ready for questions. Awesome, thank you, that was great. So let's have a quick look in questions. I'm gonna share my screen, Michael, just flipping over there. So the one we had here was, good content, it was great. Can we use Firebase real-time databases with Blazor?
I don't know if Firebase real-time database depends on how it works. If it has a SignalR client or has a GraphQL client, sure, why not?
Super, thank you. I actually have a question as well, and mine was based on how you manage those fragments, because what I saw is you keep nesting that participant inside person. Yeah. That seems like lots of dependencies, or is that not a problem?
It is actually not a problem. You should build out your fragment nesting in order to align with your components. In the GraphQL, in the Blazor application, actually, we are now able to pass in the person to components that actually just want a participant. And in this instance, I want to nest. But there are instances where you don't want to nest. So it's up to your component design. And that's actually where GraphQL has its strengths. So it aligns with your design on the client.
Okay, that makes sense. Great. Thank you so much. And if you have any questions for Michael, make sure you tag him on Twitter. Michael, can we get the source code for what you did? Do you have a GitHub link that you can share?
Yes, I can. I will share it on Twitter. It's I have a repo with all my public speaking content.
That would be great. So we can have a look at what else you have done as well. So thank you so much for joining us all the way from Zurich. And thank you for participating in .NET Conf. It's been a pleasure to have you. And enjoy the rest of your day, and take care.
Thanks.